So we are wrapping up this series on the book of Galatians. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about a passage in Galatians 6. And in my mind, as I was praying about this, studying, putting this message together, I realized something, and I think it's true of our culture in general, is that most people believe at some level that they should have made it. They could have made it. You say, what's it? I could have made it as an athlete. I could have made it as a successful business owner. I could have made it as an author, as a recording artist, as an whatever it is. I could have made it if I only had the breaks, if I only had the opportunity. I just never got the right opportunity, and so I never made it. Because most of us want to believe that success, whatever you look at as success, is really more as a result of luck, of good opportunity, of the lucky break, than it is of the countless hours of hard work, the untold sacrifice, the tremendous effort that is put in behind the scenes. We don't see that. And so we just assume they had it easy. It may not be that we even don't see it. It may be that we feel bad because we weren't willing to do it. Think about Amazon. Now, Amazon today is one of, if not the most valuable companies in the world, valued at billions and billions of dollars. But you know, for the first 9 years of Amazon's existence, it never turned a profit. And after 9 years, the first year that it turned a profit, the only reason it was profitable is because Amazon cut a seventh of their workforce and shuttered a number of distribution centers. They downsized. And that's how the first year they ever turned a profit. And that was 2003. 20 odd years later, they are one of the most valuable companies in the world. So that success didn't happen overnight. Indeed, the idea of overnight success is a myth. It doesn't happen. Very rarely does success happen instantly, but we don't see the work that's kind of there in the backside before anything comes to the surface. We don't see, or maybe there's a sense of jealousy. Maybe there's a sense of regret. But for whatever reason, we think things happen instantly. We want it to happen instantly, but I'm here to tell you, as the Lord lives, very rarely in life or in your walk with the Lord is anything instant. Yes, there are times when God does something suddenly, but that is rare. More often than not, in life and in your walk with the Lord, it's incremental growth. It's day by day, moment by moment, being transformed slowly into the image and likeness of Jesus. We want it now. We see it all the time in marriages, in families, in businesses, in our health, in our finances. How come that person's got a big portfolio? Because they started saving when they were 18. Sacrificing. How come that person's in good shape? Because they stopped eating the stuff they shouldn't eat and they worked out consistently and regularly, not once every couple weeks and fool themselves saying, I work out all the time. Three times a month isn't all the time. And so what we have to learn is this. Most of the time in life, it's slow consistency. In other words, when you apply it to the things of God, there's no such thing as a drive-through destiny. There's no such thing as a microwave calling. There's no such thing as an instant anointing. It takes time. And as a result, we can find ourselves discouraged. But what we're going to find this morning in this last chapter in the book of Galatians is that God wants us to be free from discouragement. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Galatians chapter 6. If you don't, the verses will be up on the screen. But I'm going to ask if you would stand with me in reading of God's word as we honor it together. Galatians 6, starting in verse 4, says, each one should test their own work. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. It's, they got the lucky break. They had it easy. They got the fortunate genes, whatever it is. No. You have to look at yourself. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary then in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Everyone say, do not give up. Let's say it again. Do not give up. All right, hold on to that because we're coming back. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those belonging to the family of believers. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. I have died to some things. I have died to the world. And I'm not going to boast in what I have. As we're going to find out, what you have, you didn't produce. What you have, God produced. So you can't boast in yourself. You can only boast in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now. And God, I ask in these next few moments, would you, by your Holy Spirit, speak to us, spirit to spirit, deep to deep? The natural man can't understand the things of the Spirit. So open our spirits, our minds, our ears to hear and to receive, that we'd be challenged and we'd be changed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. Who's ever heard the phrase, you reap what you sow? All right, yeah, you reap what you sow. In other words, what you sow is what you'll grow, right? What you plant in the ground is what you're going to get. You put an apple seed, you're going to get an apple tree. If you're like me and you've got squirrels that run around, and I've got a pecan tree in my neighbor's house, and they bring those little pecan nuts and plant them in my yard, and in the spring I'm pulling up little, right? I wish to God they would sow grass seed, but no, they sow pecan trees. It's awful. Right, you grow what you sow. But there's another truth too. It means the seed always comes before the sickle. In other words, you're not going to get something until you've planted it. So why in the world do you expect to have a loving, joyful, enriching marriage if you're not sowing seeds of respect and honor and compassion and forgiveness and kindness? Why do you expect that God's going to bring a man of God or a woman of God into your life for you to be married to, so that you can have the type of marriage God wants, a marriage that reflects Christ's love for the church, if you're not willing to wait for it? But you hurry up and rush out and find somebody at the club and you hook up and you say, she's the one, he's the one, because, I don't know, she smells good, she's got makeup on, he's got a muscle. I don't know what it is, but like, you know, that's the one for me. It's not the one for you. You just won't wait for the one for you. Teenagers, listen to me. Some of you are like 13, 14, 15, and you're thinking, I'm going to get a driver's license one day. You'll reap what you sow. So parents, listen to me. If they're not showing and sowing and planting seeds of responsibility and honor and truthfulness, and you give them, let them get their license and drive their car, it's not their problem. It's yours. Why in the world would you let them drive a car and risk their life and someone else's? Well, they're 16. They reap what they sow. See, teenagers, what you're sowing now is going to matter. So what that tells us is this, right? Paul says, God will not be mocked. You'll reap what you sow. So there's also a promise in there. And here's the promise. Whatever seed you plant will sprout. So what do we want it to? And so if the seed will sprout, it means you don't need to be discouraged. You can be free from discouragement. If you're planting good seed, you're going to get a good harvest. It might take time. Don't give up. But there is a promise there. God's not going to be mocked. Now, here's the hope. And this is God's grace. If you've planted bad seed, God, by his grace, as you begin to plant new seed, good seed, right seed, healthy seed, godly seed, spiritual seed, he can actually choke out and kill some of the negative seed that you've planted. But here's the thing that I want to talk about today, and it's this, that the seed will sprout. The seed will sprout. Let's say that together. The seed will sprout. It is a promise from God. You can't mock God and think, if I just sow enough seed that somehow I'll get away and not have to reap the harvest. The seed will sprout and the harvest will come. And that can free you from discouragement if you're planting the right seed. So Paul, who was a follower of Jesus, had an encounter with the resurrected Lord. And after that, he began to study and ask, what did Jesus teach? He talked to his early followers, his disciples, and he learned something. So when he writes this in Galatians, he's drawing back as the Holy Spirit illumined him and gave him understanding to something that Jesus taught, one of the parables he taught. And Jesus taught a lot of parables, and he often used agriculture and planting and reaping and sowing and all as his illustration because it was an agrarian culture. But there's one particular I want to look at found in Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 26. It says, this is Jesus speaking. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground day and night, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle in because the harvest has come. So Jesus is teaching us some very important things in that little parable. First of all, there's three seasons he's talking about. There's the season of scattering or planting. There's the season of growing or waiting. And then there's the season of reaping or harvesting. What does that tell us? It tells us that things take time. We want it now. We want it instant. We don't want to wait for it. But there is a delay between the sowing and the reaping. There is a waiting time, a growing time. The fact is, sowing, scattering seed, right? It says the man scattered seed. The season of scattering seed is really always ongoing in our lives. We're scattering now and we're going to reap it later. But we're always scattering seed. We're always planting seed. Planting seed isn't just the planting of seed. It's the preparing, the conditioning of the soil of your heart. Sometimes you have to remove some rocks. You got to pull out some roots. You have to take a plow to it and break it up because the ground is hard and compacted. Sometimes you have to add fertilizer and nutrients to the soil. But you're constantly planting seed in your life. All the time, you're planting seed. You're planting seed. You're scattering seed. It's happening all the time. And as we scatter the seed, it says day and night, it grows. But the guy doesn't know how. I love that. That should help us. I don't know how it's growing. The soil's producing it on its own. I don't know how. That's great. It means you're not responsible for it. You don't have to worry about how it's going to grow. I don't know if you've ever seen this in someone's life, or maybe in your own life, where all of a sudden it seems like out of nowhere, someone starts behaving a certain way, believing certain things, doing certain things, going certain places. And you go, how did that happen? How did they end up there? How did I end up doing this? I don't even know how that happened. Here's what I can tell you. I don't know how it happened either. I don't know how it happened, but I know how it got there. Someone scattered seed. You scattered seed. You planted seed. How it got there is because you put it in there. How it grew, how it developed, why now all of a sudden you're harvesting it, I can't tell you that, for good or bad. It's there because you planted it. We're scattering seed all the time. You come to church, you're scattering seed. You read the word, you pray, you're scattering seed. You speak with kindness. You show compassion. You forgive someone. You're generous. You're scattering seed. You cheat. You steal. You lie. You're unkind. You gossip, you slander, you look at things you're not supposed to look at, you do things you're not supposed to do, and you're scattering seed. And at some point, that seed is going to grow. How it grows, I don't know. I can't tell you how it grows. But here's what I can tell you. What you need to do is you need to focus on what you sow, not how to grow. And this goes so counter to our culture. You read all the books today, right? Self-help, business building, church growth, how to raise kids. It's all how. How do I increase my followers? How do I grow my platform? How do I expand my side hustle? How do I build a business? How do I? But the Bible makes it clear you don't need know how. It's not your responsible to know how. As a matter of fact, it's God's responsibility to know how. All you need to do is scatter the seed. You're responsible for what goes in. Nobody writes a book that says, hey, I can't tell you how to have a really successful business. I'll just tell you what you need to sow. Wouldn't sell a lot of copies. So we want to tell everybody how to do it, but that means I'm responsible for it. Listen, I told you at the vision night, I believe that God's got for us a new church campus one day, that maybe we're going to have a couple locations, one up north, one down south. I don't know how that's going to happen, but if we can fast forward and it's years from now and we've got all those things and you ask me, how did that happen? If I'm being completely honest, you know what I'm going to say? I don't know. But what I can tell you that I know is the seed that we're scattering now. We're going to be faithful to his word. We're going to be honoring in worship. We're going to love our community. We're going to do the best that we know how to reach the least and the lost. We're going to do as best as we can to love and build in and to disciple those that he brings to us. We're going to continue to scatter those seed now. And how all that stuff happens? Hey, I'm free from that. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6 and 7, two different times, Paul writes, he says, it's God alone who produces the increase. One waters, one plants, God produces. It's only God who makes it grow. So why do we try and make it happen? Why do we try and manufacture it? Why do we feel we're responsible for it? So parents, please hear me. You are not responsible to produce the harvest in your kids' lives. Be free from that. What you're responsible for is to scatter seed and scatter seed and scatter seed and scatter seed. And just like a seed, one day your child is going to leave your hand. But here's the word of the Lord for you. When your child leaves your hand, they never leave God's eyes. If he watches over the sparrow, he's going to watch over your child. So as they're gone and out of your hand and you don't know where they are and you don't know what's going to happen, but you're praying and you're continuing to scatter seed and you're trying to do everything you can into that situation, you can rest in the truth that God is watching over them. But it's not your responsibility to squeeze the seed and try and make it grow. You'll kill it. See, we don't know how it grows. It's like a child at home, right? They open the pantry door and it's full of food. You know what they don't know how it got there. They have no idea. It's just there. Little kids scared at night. It's dark. They flip the light switch. And you know what happens? The light comes on. They don't know how the electricity gets from the power plant over the lines into the house, through the circuit breaker, into that light bulb. They don't know who paid the bill. They don't know how much the bill cost. They just know the light comes on. We have to have that kind of faith. I don't need to know how it works. I'm just going to believe God. I'm going to believe that the seed will sprout and the harvest will come. I'm going to believe that God will work all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I don't know how. But I'll wait. I won't give up. And I'll trust. That's what it means to have faith. That's what a journey of faith is. That's what it means to say, God, I don't know how this is going to happen, but I don't need to know how. I'll keep sowing seed and I will wait. Now, here's the thing. Waiting, when you're in a time of waiting and you throw that seed, you scatter that seed, you can sometimes feel like that seed. All of a sudden, you're down in the dirt, you're down in the soil, and you're covered over, and it's dark, and you're unsure, and you can't see what's happening. You don't know what's going to be produced. You can barely breathe. All you're trying to do is hold on to get enough nutrients to stay alive, but inside, it feels like you're dying because where your children are, because of where your finances are, because of where your business is, and you feel like your dreams are dying, your hopes are dying, your future's dying. You feel like you're dying on the inside. Here's what you need to know. Let the death happen. Paul said, I have been crucified to this world. I've died to the world. If you want the seed to sprout, if you want the harvest to come, you may have to die to some things. As a matter of fact, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. If you want to see that harvest, some things are going to have to die. Some things in your life are going to have to die. And here's what I know, because I've lived on this planet and I have for over 50 years and I have served the Lord for over 40, and I'm telling you, what I know is this. You already know what it is that has to die. I don't need to tell you. You know. You just don't want it to die. God, I'm believing for revival in my marriage. I'm believing for revival in my family. I'm believing for revival in my school. I'm believing for revival in my neighborhood. But you know what needs to die? Yes, you could sow the seeds of prayer and fasting. You can sow the tears of reading the word and declaring things. You can sow all those seeds. But you know what needs to die? The stuff that you're looking at that you know you shouldn't be looking at, the things that you're saying that you know you shouldn't be saying, the things that you're doing, the places that you're going, the stuff you're filling your life with. Why is God going to bring revival if you're living in a perpetual state of sowing into the things of the flesh? The word says, if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, if they'll seek my face and turn from their sin. God, we want revival in America. If you would just touch the hearts of those on the left, touch the hearts of those on the right. God says, if my people would take serious the sin in their life and allow it to die, I'll bring a harvest. Oh, I want success in my business. I want success in my marriage. I want to have children. You need to die to some things. You need to die to selfishness and self-centeredness, living for yourself, from greed, from excess, from materialism. I've got a calling. I've got an anointing. I've got a purpose. I've got a dream. But some things have to die. If the seed's going to sprout and the harvest is going to come, some things have to die. But we don't like it, because we say, this matters to me. It's going to be hard to let them go. It's going to be hard to let that go. It's going to hurt to release that. But if you're not willing to let it go, if you're not willing to let it die, the seed will never sprout and the harvest will never come. Unless it dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, then watch out. God's got something amazing. God's got something amazing. But in the reaping, in the sowing, in between, there's the waiting, right? So we can sow, we can reap, but in between, there's the waiting. And in the sowing, in the watching something die, it can tear at our hearts. It's painful. It's painful to say, I'm letting a child go. It's painful to say, I'm letting this relationship go. It's painful to say, I have to let this dream die. But here's what the psalmist writes in Psalm 126. Those who plant in tears will harvest, will reap with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. In other words, when you cast that seed, when you scatter that seed, when you see that seed going down and you know something's dying, it can break your heart. It can bring tears to your eyes. You can say, God, this is the hardest thing I've done. And it may be. But the promise is, when the harvest comes in, the tears are all worth it. The problem is, so many of us have taken the time, we've scattered the seed, we've sown in tears, but then we're not willing to wait. And because we're not willing to wait, we abort the process. And we end up never seeing the harvest come in. In other words, what you need to know is this, that you shouldn't waste your tears because you won't wait for the harvest. Don't waste your tears. You've already soaked the ground with the tears. So just wait, wait, wait. It's the hardest thing to do. We have to wait for it. Somebody say, wait for it. Say, wait, say it again, wait for it. You got to wait for it. So I don't want to wait for it, but you have to wait for it. Because between the sowing and the reaping, there's the waiting, there's the growing. And you say, I don't want to wait for it. I'll just figure out how to make it happen. But you can't. The soil will produce on its own. And you don't have to know how. You just have to be willing to wait. Don't grow weary and don't give up. So what that tells us, right? Remember we read, it says now all of a sudden the seed sprouts and it starts growing. First comes the plant, then the head, then the full grain on the head. So what is that telling us? It's telling us that it doesn't happen quick. There's a schedule to things. The problem is we don't know the schedule. Listen, if you're a farmer and you plant certain crops, we understand now how those long those take to produce. Hey, that's going to take weeks. That's going to take months. That's going to take years. We know. The problem is when we sow spiritually, we don't know how long it's going to take. And God very rarely gives us the schedule. But what he does tell us is this. The harvest will come, just not on your schedule. God's got a schedule, but his schedule is not your schedule. You planted and you want it in 3 weeks. God, I'll wait. I'll wait a month, but not a second more. God, I've waited 6 months, but I can't wait any longer. God, it's been a year, but that's enough. God says, I won't be mocked. What you sow, you'll reap. I promise you, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. When, God? How long, oh Lord? Just bring it now. And he says, nope, I'm not going to tell you. You'll just have to wait. You'll have to trust. You'll have to believe that I'm going to bring the harvest at the right time. That's called faith. And it's the hardest thing to do. It's the hardest thing when you've planted that seed and you've cried those tears. Tears are for the night, the Bible says. Joy comes in the morning. And you're waiting for the morning, whatever that morning is, that morning that the harvest is ready. But it's not been a day. It's not been a week. It's not been a month. It's been decades. And you're saying, when is it coming, Lord? The hardest thing to do is wait. But here's what I know. The greatest test of faith is when the seed is in the soil, when it's there buried. You can't see beneath the surface. You don't know what's happening. Is anything happening? I have no idea what's happening. And it's in the soil, and it's still in the soil, and it's still in the soil, and I haven't seen anything. And we say, is it going to ever happen? You just have to wait. You have to trust the Lord. You have to just, okay, God, I believe that something's happening to that seed beneath the soil that I can't see, that the roots are going down, that the hard shell is being broken open, that something is dying so that life is being stirred up, and at some point the seed is going to sprout and the harvest is going to come. But it might take years. There was a woman who had a blood issue in the Bible. She did everything she could do. And it was 12 years before she was able to reach out and touch the hem of Jesus' robe and find healing. Paul experienced the resurrected Jesus, and it was close to 14 years before he went on his first apostolic journey. Abraham and Sarah were promised by God himself that they would have a son, and it was 25 years before Isaac was born. The people of Israel were told that God was going to lead them into the promised land, and it was 40 years before they stepped foot into it. And Lazarus had to die. Mary and Martha, God, if you had been here, why didn't you come sooner? It wasn't on our schedule. Lazarus had to die so that life could come forth. We might look at it and say, it's too long. I can't wait. It's never going to happen. It's past. We have to stop and wait and trust and believe and stop trying to manufacture the growth. We don't know. We don't have to know how it's going to grow. We know what we've sowed. We don't know. Have to know when it's going to produce. We just have to believe that God won't be mocked and a man will reap what he sows. And if you have sowed good seed, God promises you that the harvest will come, the seed will sprout, and the harvest will come. But we don't want to wait. And because we don't want to wait, we begin to take things into our own hands. And so what do? We say, God, I've planted these seeds, but I just need to check on them. I mean, I know my children are grown adults, but I just need to check on them. So let me dig up the soil just a little bit. Maybe this field isn't the right field. Let me pull them up. And let me bring those seeds to another field. I know what you promised. And I know what you said. But I don't know. Maybe I just need to add more fertilizer and we burn it out. Maybe I just need to overwater them and we flood them. Because we won't leave it alone. But it says, right? What did Jesus say? You scatter seed. And day and night it grows. And you don't know how. In other words, you can rest in God's promise that the soil will produce what it's supposed to produce, that he, God, will produce what he's supposed to produce. And you have to remember, the Holy One of Israel never sleeps nor slumbers. He is able to grow your seed day and night. You don't see it. You don't know what's happening. But I'm telling you, if you will rest in him and trust in him, the harvest will come at the right time. Here's something you need to know. The biggest delay to the harvest can be your involvement. You keep disturbing the soil. You keep poking around at it. You keep just checking in on it. If you've planted good seed, God will not be mocked. You will reap what you sow. So rest in that. God will produce the harvest. Rest in that. Be rested and be ready, because as soon as the harvest comes, you need to be ready to bring it in. So many times I believe we've planted, but then we won't leave it alone and we're exhausted. And then when the harvest is there and the fruit is ripe, we're too tired to reap it. And it dies. It doesn't produce what it's supposed to because we give up. We're tired. We're exhausted. We don't have anything left to give of ourselves. Listen, there are so many dreams, I believe, that have died in the soil because we've walked away from it. There are so many marriages that have sprouted but died on the vine because we wouldn't wait for the harvest. There's so many parents who have given up on their kids because they wouldn't wait for the promise. And they pulled up the seeds and tried to plant it somewhere else. You need to wait and trust that the harvest will come in God's time and not yours. But you need to be prepared for when it comes so that you can respond in that moment. I believe with all my heart there's something that God has shown me for my life. I'm not going to give you the details because it's not the time for that. But I'm telling you, God has shown it to me as clear as I can see a picture in my mind. That there's going to come a time when something's going to happen, and I know exactly what I'm going to need to do in that exact moment. I could see it as clear as I could see my face in a mirror. But God says, just be ready for it. Be ready for it. Another time I was praying about that same situation, and I said, I'm ready. I'm ready. He said, good, be ready. You don't know when it's going to come, but it's probably going to be 14 years from now. And I said, I don't want to wait that long. And he says, just be ready. Just keep sowing seed. Keep sowing seed. Keep sowing seed. We have to be ready for when the harvest comes. I know right now some of you, your dreams are planted in the ground. Your healing is planted in the ground. Your miracle is planted in the ground. Your business is planted in the ground. Your children are planted in the ground. Your marriage, your family, something is there. It's in the dirt and you don't see how it's going to happen. And you're so close to walking away. You're so close to giving up. You're so close to just saying, I can't wait any longer. But I'm telling you, if you'll wait and you'll rest and you'll trust that God will bring the harvest when he's supposed to, if you'll stop trying to be the soil and let God do what he can do, let Christ do his work, when that harvest comes, oh, the rejoicing that will follow. It's so worth it. Don't waste your tears. Don't try and make it happen. Just sow what you need to sow and rest and trust in the truth and the promise that the seed will sprout and the harvest will come if you don't give up. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. And God, I ask by your grace, by your Holy Spirit, stir some things in us. Show us where we've tried to manufacture growth. Show us where we've poked around where we shouldn't. Show us where we've planted some bad seed. Show us those things that we need to die to. And God, wherever we find ourselves right now, planting, waiting, or harvesting, help us to know that you're with us and that none of that time is wasted. For someone here right now, the seed that may have been planted was a seed of salvation. That someone, a mom, a dad, a grandmother, a grandfather, a friend, a Sunday school teacher, someone years ago, maybe decades ago, sowed that seed. They told you about Jesus and they've been praying for you for years. And those seeds have been planted and this is the day when the harvest is meant to come in. It's not an accident. It's not a coincidence. It's not a happenstance that you're here. God is saying this is the day the harvest is supposed to come in. Today is the acceptable day. Today is the day of salvation. If you will simply accept the truth of who Jesus is, he says, I want to bring the harvest in your life. That the prayers, the seed that that grandmother, that grandfather, that aunt, that uncle, that person has been praying into your life. Today's that day when that harvest comes in. All you need to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I don't remember all that Jesus did. Well, let me tell you, God looked down from heaven and he saw your life and my life. And he said, I see what you've done, the hurt, the pain, the mistakes that you've made. And I know you can't fix them on your own. So I will send my son Jesus, who will live a perfect life and willfully die a brutal death. So that in his death and his resurrection, he'll take away all your mistakes, all the things that you've done wrong, all the ways that you've hurt yourself and others. It's called sin. I'll take it all away. And that seed will die. And you can have a new life in me. A life of meaning and of purpose. A life that doesn't just exist here on this earth, but will continue in the age to come. All you need to do is ask God to forgive you and accept Jesus into your life. If that's you here this morning, I'm just going to ask if everyone would close their eyes, bow their heads. If you say, today's the day. I know it is. I want that harvest of eternal life. I want that harvest of new life. I want that harvest of new life in Christ. I'm ready. Just right where you are, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. I want to accept Christ. Oh, thank God, thank God, thank God. I'm just going to lead us in a prayer. Now, whether you raised your hand or not, I'm going to ask, would everyone here just repeat these words after me? Heavenly Father, I come to you now, and I give you my life. The old is gone, and the new has come. Help me die to selfishness, to sin, to my way of living. And help me to live for you. God, forgive me for all that I've done. And make me a new creation. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. So that I can live for you. That I could tell others about you. That I can live a life of meaning and purpose. And I can have eternal life in the age to come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. God bless you. God bless you. Give them a round of applause. This is such an exciting day. This changes everything. It starts today, but it doesn't end today. So here's what I'm going to ask. When we wrap up, please come forward. There'll be some folks that want to pray with you and encourage you and give you some next steps on this new journey in Christ. But now if everyone would just stand to their feet. And if you just close your eyes one last time. If you would say right now, Pastor, there's some seed that I've scattered. There's some seed that I've planted. And I've planted with tears. And I've planted with sorrow. And I feel like some things have died. I believe God's Spirit's here right now, and I want to declare some things over those seed. So if that's you, if you say, I have some seed and I'm waiting to see that seed sprout, I have some seed and I'm waiting for the harvest to come. If that's you, right where you are, just raise your hand. I want to declare over those seed right now in the name of Jesus, in the Spirit of the living God, I speak over those seeds that have been scattered. Would the seed sprout and would the harvest come? Would no grain die? Would no grain not produce? Would it produce a bountiful harvest? And God, when it comes in, would we rejoice? Oh, would the joy be overflowing, and would it make the tears feel like a distant memory? But God, in the meantime, I pray that you would give them a spirit of that would sustain them, that they wouldn't give up, that they wouldn't grow weary, but God, they would wait for it, and they would trust you for the timing. But I speak right now over every seed, would those seeds sprout, and would the harvest come in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. I'm going to invite the prayer teams to come forward. If you'd like prayer this morning, as we continue to worship God, just come forward. Let them pray with you and for you.